How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Deuteronomy 15:6, For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none.
He also went to Deuteronomy. That scored for the good governor, but when you got a $14.3 trillion debt, it's kind of late for that message to have a strong impact.
Believer, non-believer, no differences. We all say it. So that's my number one commitment.
The church that survives is the one that proclaims Jesus, not the pastor, not the megastar, not the latest entertainment craze, but that constantly focuses back on the cross.
Moms in Ohio love Issues, etc.
Often the story of Jesus coming to the house of Mary and Martha, there in Bethany, is told in such a way to disparage the ordinary everyday things that people need to do. How many sermons have you heard from pastors preaching from Luke chapter 10, the latter verses, where there is Mary sitting obediently at Jesus' feet, listening to what he has to say. Martha, paying no attention, is in the kitchen, worrying about getting supper ready. And you're told, in essence, nothing is more important. Nothing is more important each and every moment in your life than listening to God's word, which sounds great, but isn't exactly what this story is about. There is time, by the way, for fixing dinner. And while Martha has chosen something and Mary has chosen the better thing, it's not that Martha's work is useless or at all unimportant. We're going to be talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon about Mary and Martha teaching a Sunday school lesson. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next 2 hours, you can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Dr. Jay Richards joins us in the second half hour, answering the question, did God use evolution to create the world? The theistic evolutionist says, yes, he did. We'll see whether that stands up to either sound thinking or to scripture. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Roland Ziegler will join us. We'll talk about feminism and liberation theology. Then we'll round off today's Issues Etc. with Pastor Charles Lehman of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland, talking about the movie that just came out, the second part of the very end for Harry Potter. Well, it's not the end for Harry Potter, but it's the end of the Harry Potter stories. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, we'll see what the movie holds. In the last half hour of Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc. Or you can always go by our Facebook fan page and like it if you like. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest, senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis. CPH Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be back this afternoon talking with you.
We really have to deal with these two women at this particular moment where the contrast is set up. The contrast is there for everyone to see, and Jesus comments on it. What's the real difference here between Mary and Martha in the house with Jesus teaching?
Well, it's a matter of who's serving who, and what service is most important, and perhaps the service, what service comes first. As children of God, both of these women are disciples of Jesus. They are believers in Jesus as their Savior. They have heard him preach before. They're close family friends, and you have this contrast. The one who is honoring him, you know, human nature, important teacher, person come to the house, wants to prepare for him. But the other one also is being hospitable, and that's the one that Jesus holds up, the one who sits at Jesus' feet and in the posture of a student, letting him first serve her. As you said in your opening comments, there's time for the hospitality to Jesus. That's not wrong, what she's doing, but it is a matter of what comes first, especially for us who are the children of God in context of our work in the church and in the name of Christ and as his children.
Well, I guess what we're beginning to respond to is what's often presented as the either-or choice, that you either are going to be the disciple who sits at Jesus' feet, or you're going to be the kind of person that's concerned about so many things and misses out on all of that, but you can't have both.
Well, you know, I think I said to my assistant as I closed my door to prepare for this, I daily feel like both of these women. I feel like there's this little thing going on inside my head and my heart, because there are things that we have to do. There are things in this life, things in our vocations, whatever they be, that beckon to us and that are for us to do, works prepared for us to do. And yet, we have a Heavenly Father who has given us His Son, His Word, forgiveness, life, and salvation, and we get these things through His Word and sacraments, and I need to be about those too, because that's where the strength and the nourishment to live as His child in this world. And so it's about, I suppose, priorities, keeping things in order, and understanding that we're never going to be able to be who we are without first receiving the gifts of God that come through His Word and sacrament. And here you have Mary doing just that, first letting Christ serve her, and then we don't see the rest of the story. Does she get up and help? But we have the other sister, Martha, who in her love for her Lord is running around trying to take care of Him and serve Him. It's just a flipped priority, neither wrong, as you said. But I think it's something that women especially struggle with, and I think if we're all honest as children of God, we all struggle with getting this in the right order.
One of the things that strikes me about this story is that it's unlike many of the other stories where one would think there'd be lots of eyes looking in, lots of people witnessing the events. This isn't happening out in the streets. This is happening in their home, right in their home.
Yes.
You got to believe that it was either Mary or Martha or someone very nearby who would eventually tell this story about Jesus. Just almost an offhand comment that he makes that's still treasured by the believers.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, just a few short verses here. Verse 38, it says, "Now as they went on their way," and from that, the whole context of this, Luke chapter 10, Jesus and his disciples traveling about, but then it says, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Yes, probably just Jesus there, very few others, Mary, Martha, perhaps her brother. So how this got passed on, but the fact is that Luke records it here because the Holy Spirit obviously moved him to record this for our benefit and for our understanding, about understanding what the good portion or the better portion is, that won't be taken away. And that is all that the Lord wants to give us in His Word and sacraments, forgiveness, life, salvation, the things that Jesus has come to do, to give, to be for us.
You said this before, and I like the way you put it. It's what comes first, and then to pick up on what Jesus says, what will not be taken away, what endures, rather than the either or that we responded to at the beginning, or as so many people like to say nowadays, it's the art of striking a balance between the two. Mm-hmm. I don't hear Jesus calling for balance. I hear him simply saying there's a difference
That's
between
right.
the service that you are rendering, which is not unimportant, and the service that she is receiving. There's a difference between the two, but one remains, the other one doesn't.
Right. One remains, and he speaks of it as the good portion, the better portion, which will not be taken away. And I think it really helps us as readers, hearers of this word, to put the focus where it needs to be, on Christ and his gifts, rather than on ourselves and our doings and our best intentions, our best efforts down at the church, in the name of the Lord, whatever it might be. All of that pales to the importance of what Christ does, has done, and continues to do for us and for our salvation. And it's putting things in the right order and putting the right emphasis on that. And we can only do that. I mean, the only way that we get that straight is to have his word teach, correct, and fill us as we hear it in church, as we read it, as we receive his sacraments. The more that we get that out of, you know, out of balance, if you want to talk about balance, where we are focused on what we need to do and what we need to say, then we're further and further away from him and the focus on him in our lives and the lives of others. We can't be his children without his working in our lives through his word.
When we come back, more with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on this Monday afternoon, the 18th of July. Now, there is one more way that we can get this wrong, and that is thinking. And Pam has already laid the foundation for the right understanding of this, thinking that somehow, well, what Jesus is saying is we need to go to church and serve God. We need to show up on Sunday morning to do our duty for God. That's the better part. But if you look at it, that's not what Mary is commended for. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House is our guest.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. In about 10 minutes, Dr. Jay Richards will join us. He's editor of a new book, God and Evolution. We'll answer the question, did God use evolution to create the world? That's about 10 minutes from now on this Monday afternoon on Issues Etc. Pam, another way, and I think you've already kind of answered this in in the short form, but another way people misunderstand this is that what Jesus is essentially saying is, well, Martha's in there serving in worldly things in the kitchen, but Mary's in here serving me somehow in this spiritual way, and it becomes go to church and do your duty for God, go to church and serve him there.
Yeah, and that's, as you said, off as well in understanding this text, to somehow take the everyday mundane things of our vocations, of our lives, as wives, mothers, husbands, fathers, employees, neighbors, whatever it is, and to somehow make them not good, somehow lesser, into contrast to this, they're really two separate things. The sitting at Jesus' feet isn't what our service; it's His service to us. It is Him coming to us in His Word, in His sacraments. That happens at church. It happens as we pick up His Word and read and study it. But it is Him serving us so that we are enabled, strengthened, renewed to live as His children in this world, in the vocations, in the everyday mundane things that we have to do, caring for our neighbor, be it our child, our spouse, our physical neighbor, our coworkers. They're separate things, but one follows after the other, and one isn't evil and one good. They're both good. Caring for our neighbor, done in faith, because of Christ, godly and God-pleasing. And we have the motivation and the guidance for that from Him, from His teaching and filling us with Himself through Word and Sacrament.
So the point in that respect is that Mary is not working. I mean, she's not sitting there doing something. She is
right.
Receiving something.
She is receiving, sitting at the Lord's feet, and that's significant in the context of how this text is written, because it's a posture of receiving, a posture of a student who doesn't know and who is receiving from the teacher who does know. So she isn't doing, and that's the thing. And you know, so often in the church we put people on guilt trips that somehow they need to be down at church doing, whatever it might be, in the Women's Guild or on the Board of Elders or whatever, down at church, as if that's better doing for God than tending to the needs of our family or the work that we've been given to do in our everyday lives. Those are all things we do, and all of them, done as children of God, are received and blessed by God, but they're not the same thing as what Martha was doing, or Mary was doing, simply receiving God's word and letting Him serve us with forgiveness, with life, salvation, as He does in the divine service through His word and sacraments.
It seems that children are especially, will understand this, will get this immediately, because they spend so much time as learners, as
yes.
Sitting at the feet of others. They understand that posture quite well, mm-hmm. just naturally by virtue of their place in the family, their place mm-hmm. in society. Talk about that, if you will.
Well, that's right. And you know, Jesus speaks about us being like children in the family of God, and believing like children and having that posture, because you're right, it's a more passive posture. You're less able to do for yourself. And if you think about an infant, unable to do anything for themselves. And that's the posture we need to have when we view spiritual things, when we view our Lord and our Savior and our salvation. It's what's given to us, what's being done for us, to us, by a gracious God who loves us for eternity and who wants us with Him for eternity. And that's a hard concept once we grow up, isn't it? Because the older we get, the more we're faced with the rules of life and the things that we must do to get on in this world. It's all about doing. You get you do what your teacher tells you, you do what your parents do, you get your first job, you do that. In order to make it in this world, there's all these rules about what we must do. But in the life of eternity as a child of God and the family of God, there's only one that does, and he does for us. We don't do for him. And his doing grants us all that we need now and in eternity. And that's a tough one to get our heads around. And Jesus here is helping these ladies understand that.
What does he mean when he says, it will not be taken away from her?
It's his word, his salvation. He gives it, and no one can take it away. This is the words of life, and no amount of fussing or complaining. This is word for eternity. And Jesus is saying, you know, underscoring the importance of it and the importance of it for eternity's sake. And it's an important point that he makes. His teaching will endure, and it's his teaching, and no one can take it away. It will be there always for us.
How does it change the life of in the Christian home if we think about Jesus being present there as well, serving us there as well with his word, primarily, as you said before, in his word and sacraments on Sunday morning, but also through his word in the Christian home?
Sure, as we gather in family devotions or have our own devotions before we go to bed or when we rise, I think those things, the more that God's word comes to us, the more that we hear it and read it, the more that it helps to order our lives and to focus on the one thing needful and to see all the rest of life in the context of that. You know, yesterday my pastor preached about the mercy of God and how that mercy is what enables us to be merciful, receiving the mercy of God through Christ on the cross to cover our sins, allows us to be merciful to those in our lives, in our vocations, in our homes. And it changes our perspective with one another. And it becomes, the more that God's word is rich in us and in our families, the louder that voice is, and it snuffs out the selfish, me-centered, demanding voices of this sinful world that we are so immersed in our daily lives. And God's word can't but help change our focus, change our hearts, and how we treat one another, because it is all-powerful.
One of the things that I think I have and our listeners have found most comforting about the scriptural teaching of vocation, which is the other side of this, that is service to neighbor that flows from Christ's service to us in the forgiveness of sins, is that the neighbor's no longer a distraction. The neighbor's no longer an impediment to me and God. He's no longer kind of getting in the way of my spiritual progress or something like that. He is, in fact, there for a reason.
Yeah.
And to pick up on something you just said, to pull me out of myself in service to others. Talk about that with the few minutes we have left.
This doctrine of vocation is so liberating and so wonderful because it gives us finally permission to really care about our neighbor and to see that as important and necessary, because we've already been cared for. We've already been taken care of. Our greatest enemy has been defeated on the cross, and we have a God who promises to give us all that we need in this body and life. So we are free to share that mercy, those blessings, all that God has given us as we daily deal with the people in our lives, the people we know well, the ones we're blood related to, the ones we care about, and even the ones who are strangers but cross our paths at the grocery store, in the line at the bank. All of them are our neighbor, and we are freed to think about them, to care about them. We don't have to worry about getting what's ours. We've already gotten more than what we deserve. Now we can look to them, and how can we care for them and make their life easier? How can we be a blessing to them? God gives us all that we need to do this, and he gives us more than we need so that we can be gracious and merciful to all our neighbors.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can give them a call. They will send you a free sample, and you can see for yourself that this Sunday school curriculum, even as it guides us in our weekly conversations with Pam, is in fact Christ-centered and cross-focused. It always has the proper emphasis on first what we receive by God's grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, and properly understood then our service to our neighbor, called Growing in Christ, great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pam, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
When we come back, we're going to talk about evolution, intelligent design, and God. Dr. Jay Richards, editor of the new book, God and Evolution, will be our guest. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's a storm brewing on the horizon regarding Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan. Several members of Congress want Justice Kagan to recuse herself from future cases on Obamacare. She's now in a position to decide whether or not it's constitutional. Some documents show, as Solicitor General in the Obama administration, Kagan was involved in developing a strategy to defend the government-controlled health plan. Members of Congress are asking for more documentation to be released, but the Justice Department has been uncooperative. Justice Kagan says she wasn't involved in defense strategy for Obamacare. That's hard to believe given her position with the administration then, and the Justice Department's refusal to cooperate makes it even more doubtful. Stay tuned.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.